Well, you know, day to day, family life can be hectic with all of the things we have on our schedules. From getting the kids to school, work for mom and dad, errands to run, and then appointments to keep. Well, then the kids come home from school, there's after school activities, then dinner, then finally some homework. But did it always take this kind of effort to raise a family? Do you ever wonder how the Holy Family living in Nazareth filled their days? Well, joining me this morning to talk about a day in the life of the Holy Family, it is our friend and evangelist, Steve Ray. Steve has made many trips with groups to the Holy Land, has walked in the places that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived, and he's joining me today. Hello, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Brenda. I'm happy to be here, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, the Bible, the Lord, and the land.
Oh, that is absolutely perfect. Well, let's talk about the land. As I said, you've walked in the footsteps of the Holy Family. So first, give us kind of a lay of the town of Nazareth and what Mary and Joseph's home, raising Christ, kind of look like and fit into that landscape.
Well, I've been there over 180 times since 1995. So I kind of have a good feel for the land, and I've been to Nazareth probably 150 of those 180 times I've been to Nazareth, and we lead pilgrimage groups, and by the way, I've got 5 of them going this year. We're back in the air again. But by going to the land, we call it the fifth gospel because you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but when you go to the land, it's like the fifth gospel. It brings the other four into widescreen technicolor, and it really helps the Bible come alive and the whole Catholic faith come alive. If you were going to visit Mary and Joseph and Jesus 2,000 years ago in Nazareth, you'd have to first find it on the map because it's not a city mentioned in the Old Testament. It's an obscure little village way off the main road up in the north, far away from Jerusalem, which is the heart and city center religious life of the land of Israel and the Jewish people. You're way up north, kind of in a very obscure backwater village. The whole of Nazareth was no more than 2 acres in size. We know that because when you look at it today, there's a graveyard, there's a cliff and so on. And so the archaeologists have marked out about no more than 2 acres of land. And the people didn't live in homes. You know, I woke up this morning and I had turned on the lights and the heat was going. And they didn't live in homes like we did. They lived in caves. They had caves, and archaeologists have identified about 25 caves that they lived there. And so Mary grew up as a young girl in the cave of her family. And when she married Joseph, they moved into another cave, which he provided for the family, and the Holy Family lived there. But people right away say, oh, but what about the Holy House of Loretto? Well, that is what they did with these caves, Brenda, is that they would build a stone front on them. Most of these are natural caves. There's still many caves all over the Holy Land today. You can go find them outside of Bethlehem in the hillside. And they would build, this is in the hillside, and many of them would be natural caves, and they would enlarge them, of course, and then they would put a stone facade in front of it. In fact, in Bethlehem, where we have our mass, where the shepherds were, it's a huge cave, and they've built a brick front to it, so with a door. And Joseph would have done that, and the Holy House of Loretto, in my contention, would have been that front facade piece of the front of the cave. So anyway, that's another story. And they lived in the cave, and that's where the Holy Family lived very rustic. They didn't have all of the amenities that we have today. Mary would have made their clothing, probably. She had cooked over a fire for them. And I like to ask this. This is scandalizing to some people. And they said, you can't do it. But the question is, what I like to ask, I've given this talk probably 80 times over the last 10 years in Nazareth at the house where they lived. And I always like to start out with this group of people. I said, what do you think the Holy Family did the first thing in the morning when they woke up? And everybody says, they prayed. And I said, is that the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up? And they go, well, no, we go to the bathroom.
Right.
I said, well, do you not think the Holy Family would also do the same? And they always say, well, we never thought about the Holy Family like that before. And we have the idea that somehow they walked 3 feet off the ground and they weren't real human beings. They didn't have the same bodily activities that we do. But they did. All three of them did. And if you live in a cave where there's no running water, no hair blow dryers, electricity, no refrigerators, air conditioning, no toilets, what do you do in the morning when you wake up? Well, that is, I go into detail. We won't go into it now, but I did a show earlier today on EWTN called Toilets and Waste in the Bible, and we discussed that there was, you know, very sophisticated a whole thing and mentioned many times in the Bible, by the way. So the Holy Family had a very rustic life that we, in a way, we transpose our life onto them and think in a way that they kind of lived like us, but they certainly didn't. They had a very, very simple and, I would say, a tough life, and it was no vehicles. For example, when they went to Jerusalem once a year for Passover, they didn't get on a bus, and they didn't fly, and they didn't drive a car or take a taxi. They would walk all that. There would be caravans. All of Nazareth would go together as a town all the way in a caravan down to Jerusalem. Actually, it's up to Jerusalem in the Bible, but it's south on the map. That would have been at least 100 miles or 5 days of walking.
Wow.
It would have taken the family 5 days of walking to get to Jerusalem. Then you have to find a place to stay, and you have to do all the process of getting the lamb, slaughtering it with the priest and celebrating Passover. And then after the whole process of Passover is over, you have to walk 5 days back to Nazareth. And that's not an easy route, Brenda. It's tough. I've gone that route so many times I can't even count it. I can see it in my mind right now, every inch of the way almost. It's a rough journey. Now, what did they do for work, for example, in the morning?
Yeah, let's talk about the day for each one of these. They all had their roles to do. And let's talk about St. Joseph. In our past conversation, Steve, you said that Joseph was most likely a stone worker based on where they lived. What was his work week like? I mean, we think about, like you said, we get up in the morning, we get in our car, we go to work, we do our 8-hour shift, and then we go home. Was that typical for the kind of week that St. Joseph did? Did he even have a weekend?
Well, they had the Sabbath. That was the seventh day of the week. The Sabbath would be that they would work 6 days, but they would have the Sabbath free. And that would be for family, for fun, for education, and most of all, to go to the synagogue and worship God. But if you live in a small backwater village of 25 caves, how do you make a living? Anybody who is a salesperson or does work today knows that you have to have a customer base. You have to have customers out there if you're going to make a living, and you have to make money. So how would they do that? Joseph would knock on the cave next door. Hey, Josiah, I'm here. You got any work? Josiah would say, Joseph, that was nothing to do here. You fixed everything 2 months ago. So what did they do? Well, about an hour's walk away, and I know that it's about an hour's walk away because I have run this distance from Nazareth to Sepphoris more than once. I mean, I have run everywhere in Israel. I've run all these places with my running shoes on. And about an hour walk away, half an hour to run, but an hour walk away, was a building site called Sepphoris. The Romans were building a capital city, and they were drawing skilled and unskilled labor from all over the area to build this city. And my contention is that Joseph and Jesus and those others who were of the building trade, practical people, would leave and walk over the hillside and walk that hour down to Sepphoris every day and then walk an hour back. Joseph was, we hear in the Gospels, a carpenter, and we translate that in our English word of what we think of as a carpenter. But what carpenter means is someone who works with hard materials, basically a day laborer, somebody who works with metal or stone or wood, somebody of that nature. And so Jesus and Joseph were workers of hard materials. Well, what is the building material in Nazareth? If you lived in Capernaum, you'd build out of basalt rock, volcanic rock. If you live in other places, maybe here in the United States, you build out of wood. But what do they have as building material in Nazareth? They have, even to this day when you drive around, I point them out on the bus, that these are stone quarries. They're quarrying Jerusalem limestone. And so I would say, and I think most would agree with me, that Joseph was a stonemason, that he was either one that would go to the quarries and they would chip and chop and pull those pieces of stone out of the hillside, or they would be the ones to shape the stones once they got to Sepphoris and put them in place in the theater seats and the walls and the buildings. I had a group that the last time, right before COVID hit, in fact, in March of 2019, we were one of, if not the last group to leave Israel before they shut the airports down. And on that trip, I took people to Sepphoris, and I said, walking along the street, I said, I want you to realize that any one of these stones could have been put there by Joseph and Jesus.
Yeah, if all of us should definitely make a trip to Rome, every Catholic definitely needs to walk in the footsteps, maybe on one of your great pilgrimages. Steve Ray joining me today. Steve, there is more I want to find out, especially I want to know what Mary's keeping herself busy doing all day, but I am coming up against my break. Will you stay with me through the break so we can continue our conversation?
Sure.
I am continuing now my conversation with Jerusalem Jones. You know him as Steve Ray. Steve is joining me today because, well, we're talking about the day in the life of the Holy Family. Steve, thank you so much for staying with us today.
Sure. Glad to stay with you. Happy. I love to talk about these things.
You're right. In our first half hour, we talked about how we tend to think and we want to put the Holy Family on this pedestal. Of course we should. But we forget about the fact that they were, Joseph and Mary were humans just like us, and their lives were probably rather ordinary in many ways. Well, we talked about Joseph in the first half hour. As a mom, I know how I filled my days, especially when my children were young. There was constant running around, but then there was also the dirty work of changing diapers, making food, trying to get kids to eat them. And then, of course, kids got sick from time to time. It feels like a lot some days. So when looking back at the life of Mary, what was her day typically like compared to, I mean, all the things that we go through in our daily life?
Well, she would have very much the same, taking care of a husband and taking care of a son. She would have. Do you really think Jesus pooped his diapers? I mean, he was the Son of God. He wouldn't do that, would he? Well, of course he did. And they didn't have disposable diapers back in those days.
Sure.
So they would have a piece of cloth or something, and then they'd have to wash it in the water. And by the way, what did Mary do the first thing in the morning? She had to get the water. She's going to wash those little nappies or diapers that Jesus is wearing. She's got to get the water. So after they use the bathroom, like we talked about earlier, and she gets them fed, the first thing Mary does every day is she puts a jug on her head, probably a 2 or 3 gallon jug made of pottery. And I have pictures of Nazareth 150 years ago when cameras were first developed and made, and pictures of the women of Nazareth going to the same well that Mary went to, and show pictures of them getting water from that same well. Mary was there 2,000 years ago doing that same thing every morning and night because they didn't have running water. The only water source for Nazareth was a 15-minute walk away. So she would have had to get that stone jug. And men didn't do this, by the way. This was woman's work. Only women went to the well to get the water. Mary would have got that jug, little Jesus tagging along behind her, going probably with other women, and the kids are playing along the way on this dirt path, and she would have to fill that jug up with water. They would get together. I love to ask the girls when on these pilgrimages, do you think that the girls back in those days liked going to the well to get the water? And they always say, no, they wouldn't want to do that. And I says, oh, wait a minute, who else is at the well? All the other girls are at the well. Mm-hmm. All the other women are at the well. You didn't have Facebook and Twitter and texting back then. If you wanted to talk to people, you had to actually go see them. And they all gathered together morning and night at the well. So guess what? Everybody would love to go to the spring there and talk with their friends. So Mary would come back then, and she would then do the work. What does she do? Well, she had to mend the clothes. Maybe she made their clothes. If you want to get an idea of what women did back then, especially industrious ones, read Proverbs 31 about the excellent wife. And it'll tell you what women did back then, making the clothes for their family, making sure they had food for the family. Mary would have had to go out to the marketplace, or some of the people would come through town and they would be selling vegetables and different things like that. She'd have to prepare the meals for them. They would open their day with prayer, and their prayers were usually from the book of Psalms or Isaiah, and they would chant them. And it was like the office of readings that priests and religious do today. The Jews also, like we do at Mass, they had regular readings and prayers that they would do on a regular basis. And so they would do that morning and night as well. And so Mary would have been a very industrious person. She didn't have the conveniences we have, but I would have think that she'd have calloused hands, and she would be a rough, tough woman because she lived in a very tough time.
Steve Ray is joining me today as we talk about a day in the life of the Holy Family. Well, Steve, I know in the mornings when my children were young, I'd have to get them up, get them cleaned up and put on their Catholic school uniforms, get them something to eat, and then take them to school. Was there a formal type of education that Jesus would have attended? Maybe a schoolyard? Or was his education based upon what Joseph and Mary could teach him?
I think we are talking about homeschooling back in those days. I think there were under unusual circumstances when there was a lot of money involved and you had a very bright son like St. Paul, who would be sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. We know that he was taught by a rabbi. But I think in general, the average population, it was homeschooling. And Mary and Joseph would have taught them. The rabbi said that a father needed to teach his son a trade. And if he didn't teach him a trade, he taught him to be a thief. This was the tradition of the rabbis at the time of Jesus. So Joseph would have known that I have to, no matter if he's the son of God or not, even if he's going to be a doctor of the law like Paul was or not, Paul also had to learn a trade, and he was a tent maker. So Jesus would have had, even if he's going to just be a doctor of the law, which he wasn't, but if they were going to do that, he would still have to learn a trade, and he learned carpentry. He learned to work with his hands. Mm-hmm. He learned how to make and cut stone and build things. So, but homeschooling, this is one of the things that the Sabbath would have been so good for, because the family would go to the synagogue and they would memorize scripture. They would pray together. And during the day, the mother being home with the son until he gets to about 13, and then the boy's going to go to work with his dad. That's called the bar mitzvah today. That's when they become an adult. Then they would go out and begin to work with their father, which is why they lost Jesus. And in the way back from Jerusalem that time, remember, he was 12 years old. That's right at the point where you go from being a boy to a man. And I think what happened is Mary says, "Where's Jesus?" And Joseph said, "I thought he was with you," because he's still a boy. But at the same time, Mary said, "Well, I thought he was with you," because he's at that age, or he's a man now. So, you know, he's right at that age. They didn't know which one he was with. But they would be the responsibility of the parents to educate the children.
And then lastly, you know, after a long week, I know that it's wonderful to have a little leisure time with the family, maybe go on a hike or out to dinner. Was there time in kind of an ancient life 2,000 years ago with so many things that really had to be done just in order for life to happen? Do we know if there was a leisure time for the Holy Family to just enjoy each other?
Well, you said go for a hike. They already walk an hour to work one way back and forth.
They don't want to hike anywhere.
No, and I wrote a blog one time called "Did Jesus Ever Run?" Because I'm a runner. I was. My knees are shot now. But I said, why would he run? He walks everywhere. In those days, it was like, why run when you can walk? And why walk when you can sit down? Because yeah, they're already busy all the time. But this would be the synagogue. Nazareth had a synagogue in the town. So did Capernaum. So they would go and spend the day worshiping God, reading the Torah, singing or chanting. They would chant the Psalms, and they would obviously spend time with the family and doing just relaxing, I would think. There's nothing I can think of that tell us what they would do, but I would think that it was a day for rest. They wouldn't work. They would just enjoy their company together, because there's going to be six more days of work. And by the way, that's called the Sabbath, the day of rest, because in Egypt, they were forced to work 7 days a week without ever having a day off. And God says, I am your new Lord. I am your new master, and I'm very merciful. I'm even going to mandate, it's going to be a law that you can't work 7 days. I'm going to make you take a day off. I'm going to make you have a day to be with your family, to love your wife, to spend your time worshiping me. And it's now mandated that you have a day free. What a different kind of a Lord that was than the Pharaoh.
Well, what a perfect reminder that all of us to remember to keep holy our Sabbath day and keep it open for the family and the Lord. Steve Ray is joining me today as we talk about the day in the life of the Holy Family. Well, if you want to see the Holy Land, maybe you want to go with Steve Ray because he knows, well, just about everything there is to know. Steve, COVID is not holding you back any longer. There are pilgrimages to go on. Tell our listeners what you got coming up for 2022.
We've got 14 of them, 5 to Israel. We've got St. Paul cruise on the Mediterranean, 10 biblical sites, also Mary on that one. We've got 2 trips to Oberammergau for the Passion Play and also Switzerland and Northern Italy. In March, we're going to the Saints and Shrines of Italy. We also have some domestic ones now, too, the Saints and Patriots of Philadelphia, the Saints and the Shrines of Wisconsin with Cardinal Burke. If you want to see them all, just go to CatholicConvert.com. Click on that big banner on the front. It'll take you to my pilgrimage website. We've got them all there with interactive maps and movies and everything. So we got a lot going on this year.
You do have a full schedule, not to mention there is also the 49th annual Our Lady of Peace Institute in Catholic Teaching. That's coming up in Beaverton right here, July 10th to the 15th. Steve Ray, you're going to be there talking more about the Holy Family, so we look forward to that also. Steve, thank you so much. It is always a great time when you get to join the show.
Thank you, Brenda. I've enjoyed it myself, and I hope I get to see you up in Oregon when we do a full talk on the Holy Family's life.
Sounds good to me. And again, that is Steve Ray. I will be sure to add a link to where you can find out more information about all of Steve's pilgrimages and things that you can get yourself involved with. I'm going to put the link on the podcast of this interview. You're going to find it on the Hail Mary Media app or on our webpage, materdeiradio.com.